Hi again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal, coming to you today from both a glorious morning in Vancouver and what sounds like a glorious morning in Ireland. In a moment, you'll hear the voice of Niamh Coakley, who's a clinical lecturer in medicine in the Department of Medicine at University College Cork, National University of Ireland, and we'll be discussing a paper that she and her co-authors have coming out in the July issue of Medical Education entitled Waiting in the Wings, Lived Experience at the Threshold of Clinical Practice. Niamh, given that it sounds like such a glorious afternoon, I'm sorry to keep you at work for just a little while longer.
Absolutely. We're delighted that our paper has been accepted, and thank you very much for inviting me to talk about this research. It's a great opportunity, so delighted to do it.
It's really my pleasure. So why don't we jump right into it? The title alone gives us a good sense of what this paper is about, given that you've called it the Lived Experience at the Threshold of Clinical Practice. But can I start by just asking you why you thought that was a problem that needed to be addressed further?
Well, first of all, I suppose just to say that this particular study is part of a larger study that we're carrying out on the experience of transition to practice. I suppose I have a particular interest in this transition. Doctors go through loads of different transitions throughout their careers, but I think the big one really, it's generally acknowledged to be the transition from student to doctor. And it's, I think, traditionally regarded as being quite a problematic transition. And I suppose we see that because of its very negative impacts that it can have new doctors' mental health and well-being. And we know that there are very high rates of depression, anxiety, burnout and stress. And I suppose as well, transitions are times of great learning, and it would be good to find ways, or very important to find ways, to alleviate the stress and anxiety in order to facilitate the learning that can occur. So I suppose this paper deals with the anticipatory stage. So the study was carried out in the 2 weeks prior to commencement of practice. So it captured that anticipation of these new graduates about to start out. Again, they're on the threshold of practice, about to start working life.
And what was the motivation underlying focusing on that anticipation stage as opposed to sort of the lived experience 2 weeks or a little bit later afterwards?
Well, I suppose we wanted to start prior to practice because I think it's important to acknowledge the importance of expectations. So in general, if a newcomer is entering an organization, they can experience reality shock if what they are expecting is different to the reality that they experience in the workplace. And we know that medical graduates, for example, prior to commencing practice, they can feel intimidated, unprepared for certain aspects of practice. They can have very high expectations of themselves and how they expect to perform in the workplace. And of course, then if they fail to perform to these very high standards, it can be very distressing for them. They can also be uncertain about others' expectations of them in the workplace. And we know that this can impact very much on their support-seeking behaviors. And sometimes they can be reluctant to seek support in spite of needing it. So I think that's why it's important to gain an understanding of how they experience this phase in order to target interventions, as I said, to ease the transition in general.
And you chose to use something called interpretative phenomenological analysis. I imagine that's a term that's not familiar to many of our listeners. Do you mind giving us a brief overview of what that is?
Okay, well, I suppose our aim was to explore the experience of transition from the perspective of the individual. So we wanted to use an experiential qualitative approach, and I suppose phenomenology then in exploring experience on its own terms. Interpretative phenomenological analysis is phenomenological, but it's particularly suited to experiences that are very significant to people. So big transitions or life changes. And I think the transition to working life for doctors is one of those. And I suppose there's a lot of reflection and thinking and feeling on the part of the individual as they work through what it means or as they make sense of the experience. So IPA engages with these reflections and looks at how participants make sense of the experience. Another aspect of IPA then, which is important, is that the participant, I suppose, provides us with an account of how they've made sense of their experience. But IPA, one of its underpinnings is hermeneutics. So as researchers, we interpret the participant's account of how they've made sense of their experience. And in this way, as researchers, we can maybe offer meaningful insights, insights that might even exceed explicit claims of the participants. So it's what's known as the double hermeneutics. So as researchers, we interpret the interpretation of the participant. And finally, I suppose we did want to reveal something of the experience of each participant, and IPA is ideographic in that sense. So each individual's participant's account is analysed thoroughly prior to moving on to the next participant's account. So we felt IPA was very appropriate for what we wanted to explore.
That's great. Thank you. And you used the word insight, and I'm curious as to what particular insights were generated from drawing on this metaphor of waiting in the wings, or the notion of an actor getting ready to go on stage. That seems to have been fairly central to what you heard from your participants.
Yes, well, as we analysed our participants' accounts, so it was myself, Dr. Deirdre Bennett, and Professor Paula O'Leary were involved in the analysis of participants' accounts. As we came upon themes, or as themes were identified from the data, and we generated superordinate themes, the metaphor really seemed very appropriate and was in keeping with the themes that we identified, in that just as the actor is, I suppose, as yet unseen, but is likely to be seen and to perform imminently, so our participants also were about to perform, about to step into their new roles, about to be seen by the audience, to interact with the other actors on stage. But as yet, they were just waiting to perform. And I think that metaphor captures that very well.
And these are individuals who will be already performing many of the tasks that they would have to perform or will have to perform a few weeks later. Was there something particular about the feeling of doing it as a doctor as opposed to a very near doctor that seemed stressful to them?
Well, it was interesting in that the themes that we identified, the first was, as you say, these were, you know, newly qualified doctors. They had been medical students, and just like an actor would have rehearsed many of the parts of the role that they would be performing. But our participants actually anticipated a very abrupt transformation, an overnight change, which obviously indicated a disparity between their expectation of what the role they carried out as students and the role that was to come. So this is obviously at odds with, I suppose, theories of workplace learning, which would advocate a gradual and progressive participation. Our participants felt that there would be an overnight change. And the features, I think, that defined this new role were responsibility, so their assumption of responsibility, and the new status. And it was clear that these were aspects of the role, I feel, that they hadn't really not experienced sufficiently. So they felt that the transformation to come would be very abrupt.
And there was a phrase that you used in describing that that I found particularly poignant, which was trial by ordeal. It sounded to me in reading your results as though people almost felt like it was inevitable that they were going to have to go through this trial by ordeal. What sort of things did they say, if anything, that suggested strategies for how they could deal with that?
Well, I suppose, first of all, they did have mixed feelings about the transition. So it's important to say that they did have positive anticipation. So, you know, it was positive. They were excited. They had gone through the undergraduate, or they passed their medical exams, and they, I suppose, they were looking forward to the reward, which was getting to work as doctors. So there was positive anticipation, but there was a certain degree of anxiety, and in some cases, anxiety was the dominant feeling. They were uncertain about what to expect in the workplace. They feared the responsibility. They worried about making mistakes, about being negatively evaluated. They expected some conflict in the workplace, and they also worried, I suppose, about the emotional and physical aspects of the job that were to come. I think that the big thing for us was that they obviously had very firmly held beliefs even prior to their first day of work, firmly held ideas about the meaning of being a doctor. And we saw as well that this influenced how they felt that they would behave in the workplace. So they had, I suppose, dysfunctional coping strategies. Some of them were quite dysfunctional about how they anticipated coping with the challenges to come. I suppose they felt that they would compromise their self-care. So they spoke about the possibility of not taking breaks, not eating properly. They did feel they would accept being the target of rude or unprofessional behavior. They cited their position in the medical hierarchy or their low position in the medical hierarchy. And again, their fear of negative scrutiny from their seniors would impact on their support-seeking behaviors, which, of course, is not ideal at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so that set of mixed feelings, both positive and negative, again, resonates very well with the notion of an actor who's prepared but still has that uncertainty and that anxiety. Many of the things that you named are things that I imagine are going to happen regardless of what one prepares for. Many of the more recent things that you just listed in terms of some of the hierarchy issues and anticipating not having breaks, etc., mm-hmm. those seem like things that it's actually arguably very beneficial for the person to be aware of the potential for those issues when they move in. And I imagine that's very different than situations where somebody is completely blindsided and now has to, you know, all of a sudden scramble to figure out how to practice in a way that is completely inconsistent with what they expected. In general, did you feel like these students were expressing a view that should leave them well prepared for the transition? Did they express the awareness in a way that just made it clear that they were prepared to give into the hidden curriculum?
Absolutely prepared, resigned, ready to accept it. I suppose at the end of the day, they're just about to start. So there's a great degree of anxiety and apprehension and uncertainty, but they were definitely ready to accept whatever was thrown at them, to conform and to comply with whatever is asked of them. And again, to hide uncertainty, to don that cloak of competence, to not show vulnerability. And all of these things, I think, need to be challenged and addressed even prior to starting practice.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it's such a big problem that we obviously won't be able to solve it today. But what do you think are the first steps in that regard? And these people seem well aware of what can happen. And so that seems like there's potential for intervention in terms of providing some sort of skill for them or change for the system that might ease this transition. Do you have any thoughts as to what the first priorities would be?
Absolutely. I feel that they are aware of the potential, as you say, of negative workplace interactions and accepting the idea of not taking breaks and that. But it would be important for them as undergraduates to be facilitated via guided reflection to identify and critically evaluate aspects of the hidden curriculum, aspects of professionalism, and empower them to be agents of change in the workplace. So just to be aware of it and to discuss it and reflect on it is important. So it's important to start with the individual, to start with the students, but also senior medical practitioners need to be supported also to model and communicate appropriate behavior in the workplace. And cultural change in general, organizational change needs to occur to support new doctors during the transition and to make sure that there is respect in the workplace and to address problematic behaviors at an organizational level.
Thank you very much. Those are good pieces of advice and they're elaborated on in the discussion of the paper. So I don't think we'll push that much further, but you'll find them in an article titled Waiting in the Wings, Lived Experience at the Threshold of Clinical Practice in the July 2019 issue of Medical Education. Thank you, Niamh, for making the time and for shining some really crucial insight on this difficult time for people.
Thank you very much. Delighted to speak.